Hey, everybody, happy Saturday. It is Thought Crime Saturday. We had a conversation about Pete Davidson. Is Lord of the Rings actually homoerotic? We discuss playing music on airplanes. And finally, why does Blake love Red Dye 40? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and become a member, members.charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. That is the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. That is the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, everybody. It is Thought Crime Thursday, and we are here live with Blake, Andrew, and Jack. Did I get that right? I always say that before I can see. Oh, nope, Tyler. There's no Jack. Jack is in Ukraine. Is that right? Jack has enlisted to be a fighting force soldier of Zelensky. Is that correct?
He's front lines. Yeah.
I mean, he's
front lines.
They get drafted, man.
Yeah, he got drafted. He was the first drafted.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell.
They got a letter where they said anyone who has a Polish last name in the United States has to go fight in Ukraine for their old, you know, Poland used to own that whole area.
Mitch McConnell letterhead and everything. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have answered that.
It's really crazy. It's one of those things Doge found. Like, it's actually a law that they have to do this if we fight in Eastern Europe. You get drafted if you're Polish. It's crazy.
So we have a series of topics today that are unusual. One of them is about someone I don't really know. I think he dated Kim Kardashian. Blake,
yes.
Introduce us to our first topic.
No, that's part of the joy. That's why I thought it'd be fun to drop this on you. So there is this person named Pete Davidson. He is famous for, he must be famous for some kind of reason. I've never quite understood what it was. I think he's allegedly a comedian, but I don't know any jokes he's told or anything. But just trust us. Just trust me, Charlie. He is famous for some reason. Anyway, he's also like very ghastly looking because he famously would be covered in a million gazillion tattoos. He was basically the prototypical modern millennial by being tatted up from neck to ankle. And a kind of strange story to have happen in the first 3 weeks of the Trump administration is he went and he got all or almost all of his tattoos removed, which I don't know if you guys are aware because I don't think any of us here have tattoos, but it's actually a pretty involved process to do this. He apparently had to spend about $250,000, and they basically have to burn it off. Like, they systematically burn your skin, and then it has to grow back. So this is a pretty intense thing for him to do, but he actually did burn it all off and, you know, did a kind of gay-looking photo shoot there. But we won't dwell upon that. What we're dwelling upon is this is happening in the first month of the Trump administration, and it's also happening while we're having all of the DEI rollbacks. We've moved on from just Walmart and Target to Disney is canceling DEI. Goldman Sachs, a major investment bank, they're canceling their DEI. Is there a vibe shift, and can we detect it from such things? And also, is it good? I feel like MAGA was becoming there was a lot of tattoos in MAGA, so maybe we're just doing a switcheroo on that one. Anyway, I think it's an interesting topic.
Charlie, do you want to chime in? How about I start with this? Pete Davidson, his dad famously died in 9/11. He was like a New York kid, Staten Island. His dad died. Okay, so like that's kind of his origin story. I think he's quintessential daddy issues kind of millennial guy. So then he becomes a comedian. He was on SNL, did dated Kim Kardashian, dated, like, apparently the deal with Pete Davidson, and I don't understand the fame thing either, but he's dated a lot of really attractive women. So apparently he's got some game. I don't understand what the game is. There's rumors about that. But then he is, to Blake's point, he's probably the most surprising person that you would see reform his life in such a way. So I don't know if he had some really, like, good alpha dad, and he's kind of reconnecting with that energy that he, you know, obviously it was with his dad's tragic death in 9/11, kind of fell away from it, and he was just at a really long rebellious period. But he's got something. He's got something because he's able to have the success that he had. He's produced and directed movies, and I think co-wrote them. So it is a very telling cultural marker. I don't know if you can extrapolate too much from it, but good for him. I tend to think tattoos, like the ones he had, were pretty heinous and ugly and tacky. I would love to know what the people in the chat think. What do you guys think about tattoos in general? We do, to Blake's point, a lot of people in the MAGA world and conservative movement have a lot of tattoos. It's a military thing. But Pete Davidson's was definitely next level. Next level tattoos.
Tyler, Mormons aren't allowed to get tattoos.
And the Bible,
right?
Does prohibit tattoos. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think every
Bible does prohibit it.
Yeah, every. I think most, like, orthodoxy is against.
Yeah.
And anyone that's orthodox in their
religion. Although then
we did
go through the phase where we were, like, celebrating, like, Hegseth for having his Deus Vult tattoo and all of that. So
no, I
feel like people are less schizo on the tattoo topic, depending on whether they think it feels, like, cool and rebellious or just trashy.
I feel like if you're in the military, you get away with it, first of all. And, I mean, yeah, Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. But isn't that saying for the dead?
No, or tattoo yourself.
Or tattoo yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But again, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that we don't necessarily bring forward to the New Testament, like, you know, women's head coverings. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. What? You want to read those comments, Blake?
I was going to say while we read those, while we pull
those. Some do.
Those I think it's a maturity thing too. I could be wrong about this. I don't know if Pete Davidson's kind of, his whole brand is known as kind of being immature. And I think that maybe, you know, you talk about vibe shift with all this stuff. I think that there are a lot of people, and I've known a lot of people who've had tattoos removed. I've a lot of friends. It's a very millennial centric thing. I actually think this is part of the swing back with Gen Z. Gen Z is a lot less edgy about this stuff. I've always equated to people the millennial thing is kind of like hippie.
Is Gen Z less edgy? Or I could, if someone told me
Gen Z's Gen less Z, edgy.
If someone told me Gen Z can't get tattoos because they're so scared of needles, because they're scared of everything, so they can't handle the tattoo process, I would probably believe them, because it seems like Gen Z is scared of its own shadow. It's like those phone apps, you know, that can track people.
Yep.
I think you can agree, like, an older millennial kid would be angry if their parent was, you know, putting a tracker on their phone to know exactly where they were at all times. Apparently it's the opposite now, where Zoomers are uncomfortable, Gen Zers are uncomfortable if they can't have the app on their phone so their parents know where they are at all times.
Yeah.
They need that comfort.
It's like swap.
And so maybe they're also just scared of needle pricks. They're scared of driving. They're scared of.
I just think it's been like a swing back, and Gen Z is just a lot more, you know, almost traditional in a lot of different ways. And
he's young millennial, though, to be fair. He's young millennial. He's the exact same age as Charlie Kirk, basically. He's like a month younger than you, Charlie.
I'm a month older. Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy.
So can we put the picture up for anyone who's gay or a woman? Is this considered a good looking man? I would like someone to instruct me.
I'm so fascinated. What does the chat think?
Fisherman 85 says he got a tattoo when he was 23. He was drunk and he had $50 burning a hole in his pocket. LOL. I think that does accurately represent the thought process that goes into permanently marking your body much of the time. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to want this, like the name of this girl I've been dating for 2 weeks on my skin forever. That will not be something I regret.
I actually have a good story about this. We had staff leading into 2020. they all went out one night and they got inside their lip tattoos that said MAGA. And then obviously we know what happened in 2020. So we had no choice but to spend 4 years of fighting back because their tattoos, and they were told that those tattoos would fade on their inside of their lip. It did not fade. It did not fade. So they've got permanent
just
MAGA.
Sounds like, so what are they, were they just sitting there like for like an hour while they did this?
They must have had a really great night. I don't know. I wasn't there. So they must have had a really great night, but there was like four or five of them.
And then okay, the real Arthur Blake, who is not me, he says the photo is gay. So I trust him. I think he's probably got a good evaluation of that.
He looks like he's strung out, Oklahoma stoner chick. I probably would trust her too. Too skinny, because what are you looking at? Because the sun doesn't hit it. I think the comments are not feeling very positive about Mr. Pete Davidson. So
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, but let's take the. Can we take the picture down? I don't know.
You
if
asked
I need
for
to,
them to
yeah.
put it back up. I will. I want to note that you asked for them to put it back up.
I did not. Charlie asked.
Whatever. Someone did. The point Charlie is, it wasn't me who asked it to go back up.
All right. That's fine.
You asked the question though, Andrew, about what's the allure of him to like, he gets like really attractive. I think he's like,
dated like a bunch of models, right?
I could be wrong about this, but I think, wasn't he like branded like the rebound guy? Like he was always the guy that was like picking up girls that like, I just like kind of semi remember this is like, he was always picking up famous girls like right after they break up. Is that, am I wrong about that? I don't know if anyone else heard that, but. I think a lot of women that are famous, they like to date people who are funny. I think he's on the funny attractive scale. Obviously, less attractive probably to most people. But he's funny.
So he's dated Madeline Klein, who's apparently somebody. Some Chase Sue Wonders. I don't know any of these people. This is hilarious. He dated Ariana Grande. He dated Emily Ratajkowski, whatever her name is. You know, she's kind of like famous for being famous. Kim Kardashian, Phoebe DeNever, don't know who that is. Oh, I recognize her face, though. She's some actress. Kaya Gerber. I don't know. It's like a lot of famous. Kate Beckinsale. He dated Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, who's like super old.
Yeah, Cassie David. I don't know who that is. Anyways, they're all like obviously noteworthy people to some extent. So he's got some game, but he's like he's the celebs like to date effeminate men, says Crimson Blackard. I kind of think that's right.
You know, this does circle back though to our most important topic, which is whether Lord of the Rings is gay or not. Because did you know that the cast of the Fellowship, the nine members of the Fellowship of the Ring, they to commemorate being on like in the movie, they all got some shared tattoo that's like with something from Tolkien, and they all got the tattoo.
I watched Lord of the Rings this weekend, and Tyler ruined it for me. I have to just be honest.
You agree with
them
now?
Every time Frodo and Sam
gave into this.
No, I don't.
You see it?
No,
you see it now.
I don't agree. I'm saying that he ruined it. It's just as I always used to look at it as, you know, brotherly love, and then. Frodo and Sam, there's some very long gazes. It's
brotherly love. You guys,
I don't
want to
say Tyler's onto something, but
to
like
the propaganda.
No.
The propaganda wants you to think.
After Tyler gets in your head about this, and then all of a sudden you can't unsee it. I'm not even saying it's right. I'm saying you kind of infer it, and like, geez, Frodo doesn't look at women that way.
This is Peter Jackson's fault.
Doesn't look at the woman in the woods that way. Doesn't look at Liv Tyler that way.
That's right. That's right.
I think you can infer that Frodo knew his place.
And then you really start wondering, like, Merry, Pippin, Sam, and Frodo are all sharing a room. And you really start thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about.
This is like a three-week-long, like, what, conversation.
Yeah, and it's going to keep going until I win this conversation.
And you
got to
wonder, like, what are they actually doing in Rivendell? What are they really doing in Rivendell? Yeah. Because then you look at it through kind of the modern woke lens.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Tyler's right, but it half ruined the movie
for
me.
What they're doing in Rivendell is they're singing.
Why
their
is Gandalf going down there like a weirdo?
Music,
it's like
they're
literally
playing music and they're singing their elfish songs in their elfish language, and there's nothing gay about it.
No, what's Gandalf really going down there for? It's like his little Thailand. Yeah. Like, this is like creepy stuff.
Gandalf, Is Gandalf the Epstein wizard of Middle
Earth? Yes, he is. Yeah. That's his Thailand.
Ryan,
I'm not
Ryan
saying.
Ryan wants us to throw this up. Ryan wants us to throw this up. 204. Let's throw it up. There it is.
Yeah, it's.
No, it's. I'm telling you, once you see it through the Tyler lens, it's not that he's right. It's just you can't unsee it, and it kind of ruins the film.
No, I want to make this point that we didn't make a few weeks ago. Was it's not just that. I think Peter Jackson had this weird homoerotic approach to this because the elves are all super gay. They're all super gay. Like Orlando Bloom is like, he looks like Pete Davidson. He's got Pete Davidson vibes to him, which is like, yes. And we talked about all the orcs. There's no women orcs. There's no female. Like, what? It's just like, there's a lot of gay.
Because the orcs, what do they do that's gay? What do the orcs do that's gay?
There's no girls. There's no women.
Okay, yeah. So is the military gay? Like, when we make is Pete Hegseth's goal to like make combat really gay? Is that the goal, Tyler?
The story itself is not necessarily homoerotic, but there's like gazes that are like half a second, 2 seconds too long, and then like the whole like Sam. I'm so glad I have you with me. It's like completely unnecessary extra lines of dialogue. I'm sorry. I rewatched it and it's such a good movie and it's so amazing. But if you kind of go back to watch a movie 20 years ago through modern ultra, like, let's just say gay lens of film, you see some things there and you got, boy, if that was made in 2025, it would be Brokeback Mountain of Mountain Doom.
It would be awful.
So This reminds me of what happened with Abraham Lincoln, right? So he had this really close friendship with a guy named Joshua Fry Speed. And this is before they were he was president, like well before. I sent the old-timey image of Joshua Fry Speed. But there was, in 1926, a biography of Lincoln by Carl Sandburg alluded to the early relationship Lincoln and his friend Joshua Fry Speed had as having a streak of lavender and spots soft as May violets. And that's kind of reminds me of like a really good description of Frodo and
that's
Samwise.
Ian McClellan. That's Gandalf.
Yeah, Gandalf is gay. I forgot Ian McClellan.
That's Ian McClellan.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, but like I also call it like this is, you know, we're changing history here. I mean, I can guarantee you that maybe the movie's a little bit like homoerotic, but like the books and the
it
original
says Grand Marshal. He's the Grand Marshal of the gay parade.
Yeah, but that's modern. You know, that's not the way the books were written. That's not the original intent. Oh, geez.
I know.
You accept this framing, you are giving in to the gay industrial complex.
I will
complex.
Say, I never thought it at all my entire life. And then Tyler mentions it, and it half ruins it.
Like, if you let them get away with it, they're going to make George Washington gay. They're going
to
make Jesus
gay. To Blake's point,
they're going to make
that's why I brought up Lincoln with his. So he had he has four kids. He was in a long relationship with his wife. What was her name? Mary Todd or whatever. And he had a history of having romantic relationships with other women before that. I'm not sure they were physical, but the point is everybody thought he was heterosexual his whole life. And then we get to like 2020 and all of a sudden he's gay. So I do want to like make space for the fact that men can have intimate, non-sexual, very heterosexual relationships. And I think before the gay agenda took over modern pop culture, nobody would have thought differently about it. Stop it, Ryan. One of our producers keeps putting in very inappropriate pictures. Anyways, what it's worth. We have to make space for the fact.
Well, I mean, this is a real conversation though, because and this does tie back to Pete Davidson, because you know his like this growing up fatherless thing. Obviously, no fault of his own. His dad died in 9/11, whatever. But like this entire feminization of males, I think the feminization of males in general has made it impossible for guys to have like those old school, you know, guy best friends, because people look at you and question if you're gay. So when you create a world in which that's so prevalent, I think it's harder to be, it's hard to have like a best buddy. And this actually, I've talked about this recently with friends. It's like, it's actually hard in general for men to get together and do anything. Like kind of the old school days, it was like men used to get together and do bowling leagues and poker nights and da da da. And those things happen, but I don't think they're nearly as prevalent as they were, you know, many years ago. And I think it's like, this is all part and parcel to, like, again, Hollywood, everything just like pushing the gay agenda, which, you know, may or may not have started with Lord of the Rings. So, you know,
so
just seeding it into
your
brain.
I totally agree. I don't know if this is going to help my case or hurt it, depending on, but I'll never forget when I went to Italy and it's apparently going to hurt it based on Blake's reaction to Italy. But I remember going in Italy and there would be men holding hands, walking down the street, just holding hands. And they were, I asked, I was like, are they gay? And they're like, no, they're straight as an arrow. Like, that's just men in Italy. They'll just hold, like, if they feel close to another man, they'll just hold each other's hands. I'm just saying what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I think of Italy.
All I'm saying is through a 2025 lens, you watch the movie 20 years later, and it's just, you can't help but think, because we look at all of that stuff as homoerotic and gay.
Thanks for ruining a childhood favorite, Tyler. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no, he completely wrecked it.
Well, I mean, it was somebody had planted that in my mind, but this is how it happened for me. I watched during COVID, I downloaded all the trilogies that existed, because there was like, so every night I would just start watching one of the trilogies. I watched literally every movie that had a trilogy, and I downloaded Lord of the Rings. I started watching. I was like, man, this is really gay. I can't watch this. And I like shut out. I downloaded all three. I paid for all three movies, and I only watched like the first half of the first one.
Thanks to Andrew's like Italy's super straight thing, I'm looking up Liberace to make sure he was in fact Italian. And yes, he was Italian. And he put a big candelabra on his piano, and he insisted he was straight his whole life. And then he died of a condition not associated with that.
Well, I'm just telling you what I saw. And men in Italy walked down the street together, remember, holding each other's hand.
And if you watch the movie closely, near the beginning at Bilbo Baggins' 110th or 111th birthday, Sam was really nervous to go up and talk to the ladies or the woman, so he needed like an extra thing of beer and had to be thrown into it.
That's really just straight. That's straight. That like, gays are great at talking to women because they have like women brain.
Wait, hold on.
Not always. A lot of what?
So
why would a gay dude be nervous about talking to women? What's he worried is going to happen?
A lot of dudes are. That's so cliche. It's a shtick they used in the movie that men are nervous of talking to women. Only a certain subset of men are nervous.
Not nervous to talk to Marion Pippin.
Hey, yeah. I will tell you that if you go watch Top Gun, the original, like go watch that for homoerotic.
You're gonna make Top Gun gay for Charlie now too.
Are you ruining everything?
You're gonna ruin Top Gun for all of us.
I mean, Top Gun is objectively homoerotic.
Andrew, you are putting this conversation in the danger zone. You are on a highway to the danger zone right now. Yeah. This is not good.
I'm telling you, there is a reason why there's a lot of rumors flowing around about the lead in that film, Tom Cruise. I'm just saying that.
What else are you going to ruin for me?
Top Gun, the original 1980s Top Gun is the most homoerotic movie ever created. It's a fact.
You're just going to come in every week. It's going to be one of you guys going to assert another movie is gay. You're going to be like,
Star Wars is gay.
Well, the Godfather it was really kind of like, it wasn't really about five families. It was kind of like a gay conclave that was running inner Italian mafia. Yeah,
you're going to be like the good, the bad, and the ugly, gay. You're going to
No.
Citizen Kane. Gay.
Citizen Gay. No, it's not under every
gay
rock.
Gay Sablanca.
Rosebud was not actually his sled growing up. Rosebud was a secret lover that he had during college.
Yeah. Charlie, don't look up the slang term. Don't look up slang terms for that word. Just that's all I'm going to say.
Clarence.
Man.
You cannot touch It's a Wonderful Life, okay? You cannot touch It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, hold on. I mean, Top Gun is like, this is not me breaking news. Everybody knows Top Gun's homoerotic.
No, I just Googled it. He's right.
You're going to
say it's gay.
Yeah. You're going to say that like Red Dawn is gay because
look at this.
Charlie Sheen and what's his name, they like are holding each other on that bench after like getting shot at the end. And
look at this, Esquire magazine. The Top Gun volleyball scene is not
homoerotic.
That's the new
one.
It is homosexual.
That's the new one.
No, that's the original one.
That's the new one.
To have both of them have volleyball scenes on the big screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot there was an original volleyball one. I thought that was only the new one. Yeah.
No, they brought it back because it was so popular in the first one. Well.
I googled the gayest movies that aren't explicitly gay, and also on there is Wizard of Oz.
Well, that's a different one where whether that movie is gay or not, gay people are obsessed with Wizard of Oz because gay men love Judy Garland, I guess. The more you know.
I also think that there's that connection, the same connection with Lord of the Rings as you have. Small people.
If you look up like gay icons, I think Judy Garland is literally the first result. It's kind of strange. Oh man, this is getting way too deep into the lore. We should probably hit the evac button to the next topic before it'll turn out everything
look at this.
Is gay.
This is
why people pay the big bucks.
Hold on. I'm this is top 10 macho blockbusters with hidden homoeroticism. Number 10 is Ravenous from 1999. I've never heard of that. 300 is number 9. Number 8, Top Gun 1986.
What are you talking about?
Number
7, come on.
Yeah, well, because it's all these dudes running around.
Yeah, it's called like dudes who are like soldiers.
Yeah, murdering other dudes.
Yeah.
All right, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Revenge from 1985, Tango and Cash, 1989, X-Men First Class, 2011.
Yeah, X-Men's kind of gay.
We're corrupting the
Rebel
audience.
Without
Yoma,
a Cause, 1955.
Yoma 63. I feel like I'm being corrupted. I never saw gayness in Top Gun. You guys are.
This is gonna mess.
You're destroying
heads.
Our
Number
audience.
Three. Ben-Hur, 1959. I could see that. Fight Club, 1999. Fight Club.
Fight Club's kind of gay, yeah.
Yeah, Fight Club. I have not actually seen the Fight Club movie. I think I'm the only person born in my year to have not seen it.
That's a perfect example of a movie that was directed at men, that men, like boys, were supposed to like, that had severe gay undertones, for sure.
Yeah, I read the book.
Where are the gay undertones? Because they need like camaraderie. That's just like what a gang is. Like a, you know. I don't know if I agree with this at all.
No, I got into that after I was reading, because we were talking about gay movies, because this is how this came up, and I got to Lord of the Rings. This was one of the ones, the Reddit threads I read was all about how Fight Club has all these like, it's tons of undertones like throughout, and it was like planting in like boys' minds all like. In the 2000s or 90s or whenever it came out.
Man.
Well,
now
probably ruined everybody's night.
DJT 2020 suggests that just all acting in fiction is gay, which was kind of what that is like the true classical take on it. You know, the ancient Romans considered actors the equivalent of prostitutes, basically. Maybe we need to bring that back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we go far enough back to the Greeks, it was only male actors, right? So that would probably attract a certain type of male even back then.
Oh, dear. All right, yeah, we need to hit the eject button. All right, do you guys want to – first we'll do an ad, but do you guys want to talk about banning things on the subway? That'll be fun.
Let me do Rumble Cloud, because I'm actually on team no speakers here, and I'll explain. Are you tired of getting a surprise when you see your cloud services bill every month? Well, our friends at Rumble have done it again. The new Rumble cloud services are coming this spring. Rumble has built the cloud for the parallel economy. The disruptive Rumble cloud pricing model will blow away the big tech clouds with big savings and more predictable budgeting. And like Rumble Video, you don't have to worry about the cancellation on Rumble Cloud. Remember what happened to Parler? Exclusively for friends of Rumble, sign up today at friends.rumble.cloud and receive 30% off the first 3 months on your cloud compute subscription, which will be available for purchase later this quarter. Rumble Cloud Services are the essential cloud services you need for any size business to innovate and grow. Head on over to friends.rumble.cloud today. That is friends.rumble.cloud today. Okay, Blake, take us further.
All right. So as on the right, we're all used to making fun of France because it's France. But Based Alert is coming in. France, the French Assembly has just passed a bill, and it is going to ban repeat incivilities on public transport. And so they're cracking down on uncivil behavior on the nation's buses and trains, which include, as possible examples, listening to music without using headphones, carrying on a phone conversation on speakerphone rather than sticking it up to your ear so people can't hear the other end of it. In fact, they might even... I've seen different interpretations. I think in one version, they're even suggesting it could just ban having a phone conversation if you're not in like the, like if you're on the train rather than on like a platform or something. Also, they're going to ban putting your feet onto the seat opposite you when you have like a four pack like that. And they're also going to ban handing out tracts to people on the subway platform, like, you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses manuals and stuff. And so France is cracking down on annoying behavior on the train. So do we have strong thoughts about this, everybody? Does America need the authoritarian crackdown on people listening to music without headphones? And why is the answer yes?
I have thoughts.
So
Charlie,
when
you have thoughts.
Yeah, Andrew, you go first. No, I want to hear the argument as to why the government should be involved in this.
Okay, so... I'm not saying that the government should be involved in it, which public transport makes it a bigger issue, right? But I will tell you that I am very in favor of getting rid of, like, people listening to speakers or, you know, movies without headphones on planes, which is a private company. So I have run into this a lot where people just start talking on phones and they start playing clips from social media, and I'll be sitting right next to them and I'm just like, what's happening? Were you raised in a barn? I find this completely rude. I don't know why this is something that needs to be even discussed. You should know better. You're, you know, a grown adult that is apparently capable enough to buy a plane ticket. Please turn that off. Put some headphones in. Whatever you got to do. So I'm pro direction. And by the way, as conservatives, modern conservatives, we are in favor of using government power when it suits the common good. You know, I think sometimes we can get ourselves caught in an ideological trap about freedom. It's just like all freedom is good. Well, I don't want to put poison in my hamburgers at McDonald's. So I don't know. There is a role for this. I don't know that I have an answer as far as public transport, but I will say at the very minimum, it is extraordinarily rude, and these people deserve to be mocked, scorned, and heaped abuse on publicly.
So I go for a lot of walks, and I take my kids for walks, especially the more newborn ones, and I never use headphones. I just listen to my audiobooks just straight out of the phone. So should that be regulated if I'm going for a walk on a sidewalk or I'm walking around? First of all, I don't like the headphones. Number two, I think ear pods are actually really dangerous and bad for you. That's a whole separate topic and different issue. But as I guess on an airplane, I suppose, but hold on. If you also have headphones in, then how does it affect you if somebody else doesn't have headphones in? So Blake, what is your argument here?
So I don't know if any of you guys have been regular bus riders, but when I was in D.C., I would actually take the public bus into up to Union State, or not up to Union Station. I would take it to the Pentagon and then get on the train. And the answer for why it would affect you, even if you have headphones, is, Charlie, you would be amazed at how loud some people play music or carry on their phone conversations on their phone. And so if you really want to be honest, I think this is a real thing. Is the reason it might be a good idea to actually have a government, like, you know, to be allowed to crack down on something like that, is someone who listens very loudly to music on their phone or on some other device on a bus, on a train, is actually probably a big red flashing warning sign that they have like some antisocial tendency that's going to explode. Because if you are...
They're going to stab you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's like broken windows theory applied to, like, the guy who's going to shove someone in front of a subway train. It's like the guy who... Like, there are people who will play loud music on a subway, basically. So it's like they're waiting for someone to ask them to turn it down so they can snap at them. Or it's a way of asserting dominance,
yes,
over other people by making them
totally
by making things
that
unpleasant for them. For Charlie's case, I think
totally.
If you're outdoors, if you're walking on the sidewalk, I don't think that matters as much, because I mean, you can have a literal outdoor, you know, concert in the park. You can put on a play in the park. And so you listening to an audiobook is hardly as bad as any of those things. So if you're just out on the sidewalk, I think it's fine. But we definitely have a pattern of people being extremely loud in the enclosed space of like public transport. And yes, we have video of it. How about, it looks like we have a couple watching a movie at full volume on a plane. Let's play 195.
Okay, that's outrageous. All right, you won me over.
Oh, that?
Yeah, but you know what this is? So, I think we can pull it down. Oh, that now
so
that.
So loud. So loud.
So just loud. Just staring back at him, mean mugging.
No, it's fine. It's just hilarious.
No, it's not fine. Don't wuss out. So here's what this is. And actually, Apple has fixed this. So if you're a couple on a plane, because I've run into this with my wife, where one of us has to put one headphone in and the other puts the other headphone in so you can both watch the same thing as you're sitting next to each other on a flight. Now Apple lets you connect two different Bluetooth headphone devices. It's a innovation that I appreciate. But here's I kind of understand, but it's still there's no excuse. But here's what I think. If you got like a 90-10 issue that like 90% of normal Americans would agree that it's extraordinarily rude to watch a phone on full volume in the plane while people are trying to sleep or have conversations or whatever, you should be able to regulate that. I have no problem with that.
I agree.
And here's the thing. If you're not going to do that, if they're free to do that and we don't pass a law, then we should be free to approach that person. And if it gets violent, to have no liability on us.
No,
I think as long as you can walk in public spaces, then I'm good.
I like Lucas MP47 who says, riding the bus, I loved it when people had private phone conversations on speakerphone. I would chime in and make them very uncomfortable.
No, I'm going to tell you, I get so annoyed because when I get on a plane, I like to sleep the entire time. I try to go to sleep before it takes off and wake up when it like literally is the plane's landing. That's the best way to fly because I hate just sitting there amongst myself because I'm a pacer and I need to walk around and talk and do all that stuff. It is so annoying when people are loud in any kind of way. But what about people that smell? I'm telling you, the smell issue is...
That's worse.
It's worse to me. Yeah, I've been in this situation one time where literally... This woman who probably hadn't bathed in it seemed like weeks sat down next to me with a cat that was like in a bag that was right next to me. And they literally sat her right next to me. And I was like, I thought I was going to die. It was like a 4-hour flight. It was the worst smell I've ever smelled in my entire life. And you're stuck. It's like terrorism. It's civic terrorism, not unlike what we've seen here in Maricopa County.
So would you say the cat was out of the bag?
It was. I couldn't tell if it was the cat or the woman or a combination of both. But I'm telling you, it was like pig pen. Like you could almost see it in the air. And to me, that's just like, and that's the same conversation that they were talking about. People are overweight. They're spilling over. We had the other ones with feet. People like putting their bare feet out. I discovered.
But we have that video.
Play the.
We role. Have that video.
Can we do that as B-roll? The person shaving their like feet calluses while.
Oh, I saw one of those pictures. Oh my!
That like, is. I'm sorry, but you're off the plane and you get handcuffed when we get to the next destination if we're over halfway.
Gitmo.
Like that's beyond the pale.
That is.
You have no common courtesy. Like that person should be put on a no-fly list.
Well, I found out today that there are airlines that if you pull out your bare dogs, they will kick you off. They'll permanently ban you from the airline.
What are
the
airlines?
I support this.
Delta and Spirit. And I actually hate Delta.
Spirit will ban you for that?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Spirit is...
Spirit
will ban you
any
for anything?
Flyers left.
Spirit like encourages you to fight with people. I'm surprised that they ban you for having your feet out.
So, Charlie, I want to check my thought process here with, you know, back with your libertarian leaning early days. I think that this makes complete sense. Like we do not need to be afraid to use power when we have a overwhelmingly like positive 90-10 issue. Yeah, maybe there's some like doctrinaire conservative ideas that we're maybe crossing the line here, but like this is just common courtesy. We talk about this like, you know, with bullying, how like, you know, we argued back and forth whether or not bullying had some upsides because it's become such a feminized, like weak culture. Like, I feel like this person needs to be bullied. This person, like, with the shaving their foot on the plane, obviously has had a lack of bullying in their life.
Got it. Yeah, point
the,
received.
The thing about
internalized.
Bullying.
Thank you. Got it.
The thing about bullying is if you, when you can bully someone into doing something, you're able to do through sheer social sanction. You're able to do something through sheer social sanction instead of needing a law to do it.
No, no.
So it's less punitive than when you need the state to come in swinging.
Wait, you were just arguing with me, Blake. I put in the chat like a few weeks ago. I said that part of the reason why society's so screwed up is because we've targeted bullying.
No, but people have like a bad warped idea of what a bully is because they watch too many movies. And so they just watch things where they think a bully is like a guy who would just stuff someone in a locker. And then they decided that's based and we need more of it. No, no. We need social punishment of genuinely bad behavior instead of what we have now, which is social punishment of actually like pro-social behavior. Now,
like
nowadays,
Daniel
you mainly
Penny.
Get bullied if you like call the cops on someone who... You would get bullied and like lose your job if you tried to argue against someone doing that, at least if they fell into one of, you know, 18 discrete protected categories on the lib hierarchy. By the way, while we're doing thought crimes related to airports, you know what we really need a jihad against?
What's that?
People abusing the wheelchairs. Do you guys know about this? So a ton of airports will basically, if you're not mobile or not, you know, limited mobility, they'll provide you a wheelchair and they'll wheel you priority through security, and you can get on your own plane early as like a priority access.
Okay, hold on.
And people abuse the crap out of this, and I've seen
it. They totally do.
Once you start looking for it, you see it everywhere. You will see people wheeled up to the security line. They'll pop up, limber as ever, scamper through, and you'll see a family. You'll see three or four people. You'll see two generations of a family all in the freaking wheelchairs.
No, and every dog you see on the airplane, too, is not like a service dog. It's just somebody who's like, I'm going to call it a service dog, and I got my service license or whatever you have to do, certification. I can't stand that because it's all a con because everybody's too – like this is why I think we need to bring back bullying and like social policing and all the things because – like there was a time and place where if some a-hole tried to bring their dog on a plane that like, you know, the guy would have looked over to the dog and been like, sorry, I'm not going to put up with that. Now, listen, I like dogs as much as the next guy, but like it's just gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of hand. Like put the dog down can't they do that? Like they do that with horses. I know they ship horses like overseas and they have like a cargo bin for the horse. You can literally put a horse on like a 747. They have a place to put it. If you're trying to ship your horse overseas, I think that's what we need to do with dogs most of the time. This whole thing where like your dog gets to like be where, you know, underneath the seat in front of you is crazy. Because some of these people bring in like Labradors and I was on one plane where there was a Rottweiler. Luckily it was not in my three seat row. It was like across the aisle, but there was a Rottweiler down on the bottom of the seat. So that's my rant.
Yeah, no, they have cracked down on that though. They've really limited because it got like so crazy out of control with so many dogs. Now you can only have like certain ones in a certain way, and they have to have like way more justification. They can't just have like whatever it was.
What about on the subway? What about like public transit? That's... Do you know this? I haven't taken a subway in long enough that I don't even know.
I think it's like a free for all on a lot of these.
Wait, so hold on, I was distracted.
The subways and the trains. The big issue isn't this. The subways, I think, are more packed, and I think they have more rules in the big cities. The real issue that most of our listeners probably have to encounter are the useless light rail that they've been putting in all these cities. Like, so they have trolleys and light rails that nobody uses except for homeless people.
Oh, it was really great. They had one in Norfolk, Virginia, where it was like only two stops. And then it was originally free. And then they had some of the campaigners were like, you guys, please add a fee to ride this because
it's just otherwise homeless people.
It was just 100%. It's just a roving homeless shelter.
No, that's they just sit on the train and it just goes around the city all day long in most of the cities. And they're just hitting, they're just doing drugs like in the corner, peeing in the corner of the like legit, like just like defecating and peeing on the trains. And of course, like they have dogs and animals and, you know, there's all sorts of craziness happening, fights, people stealing stuff from people. So nobody wants to ride it. So they spend literally like tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars installing these things on all the cities. It's like such a farce, and nobody actually manages it. It's not managed because nobody rides it and nobody cares. It's terrible.
All right. Eric 1986 says, we used to have dogs in baggage under the plane. Thank you, Eric 1986. That's what I thought.
I remember that, but anyway. Yeah, movies and stuff. Before we forget it, we have a special question for Charlie if he has any inside information. Ruron donated $10 and asked, when do you think Brent Bozell will be confirmed by the Senate so Carrie Lake can finally be confirmed as director of Voice of America? I don't know if we have any inside lore on that. I definitely know Democrats have decided.
2 months?
2 months. All right. That's not so bad. But Democrats are definitely going maximal clogging of everything.
What do you think the passage rate's going to be now from this after Cash, Charlie? Do you think most are going to fly through, or who do you think is the next big battle?
Yeah, I think so. I think there will be a fight for some of these undersecretaries in the Department of Defense. I don't think it'll be a big fight, but I think that even though they got Hegseth in, there are some people that are against the neoconservative dogma that might be a fight. There's been some rumbling about people like Bridge Colby, who's amazing, by the way, and some of those other ones. So that keep an eye on that have very important jobs in the Department of Defense. And then Cash should be the really big one, the last big one. And I think he's gonna sail through. But Tulsi and Bobby were the big, big, big ones. Tulsi, Bobby, Hegseth were the true change makers.
It's incredible.
Charlie, hold on. What do you think the proper solution is for public transit? So I think you agree on the plane, but what do you think about public transit and headphone listening, dogs, all the different ways people can game it?
I'm with the French on this. I think they're right.
Wow. So if anybody has any doubts that Charlie is no longer libertarian leaning from like 2018, like
yeah, but it's not a libertarian.
It affects other people. Yeah. It's the non-aggression principle, which is you can do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't harm somebody else. So definitionally, if you're listening to a movie on a plane, you're harming somebody else. No one's saying you can't listen to the movie. You just have to do it in a way that doesn't impact the livelihood or the journey, in that case, of the people around you, the passengers.
Fair enough.
Well, and the true libertarian viewpoint here is like, again, you know, create institutions that are where you don't have to be crammed on top of each other. And this is also a reminder with like airports and airplanes, is that airplanes used to be a lot more spacious. Like the advent of, you know, the consolidation of all the airlines, I believe, has led to more cramped, less luxurious travel in the, like, I wish I would have lived in a time period when travel was luxurious, when it was like you dressed
up.
I
think travel is still luxurious if you are like a rich person who pays a lot of money.
No,
to do it.
You cannot look at an airline today, like a plane, and see it. Like, there's no one that dresses up intentionally for the flight. And this is the other
thing.
Well,
this goes back to the tattoo thing. People just don't dress up in general. Like, you used to dress up to go outside a lot of the time. You know, you look at a clip of men out in the street in 1925, and they will be much better dressed than today.
Oh, yeah. But people, like, it was like a thing to be seen. It was like such a place. And then the airlines treated you so much better, too. I mean, think about all of the stewardesses. Like, it was like an entire cultural revolution that happened in America, and they've gone so far away from that I think just the lower quality of our airlines and the consolidation and making money.
You know, what's an interesting thing? I can't remember if we did a thought crime on this or not, but typically and traditionally the dogma is that mass deregulation raises the quality. Airlines is the opposite, actually. Ted Kennedy led a mass deregulation crusade of the airlines in the 1980s, and it resulted in worse air travel, mm-hmm. more delays, a worse experience, and not even better prices. That's the thing, is that there was kind of an advent of cheaper airfare, and now that window has closed through mass consolidation and mass regulation. And look, that's probably Pan Am, which my grandfather actually helped run Pan Am way back in the day. And that, look, I mean, that was before Teddy Kennedy decided to just just wreck it all. And if you ask anybody over the age of 60, do they look fondly back on how airfare used to be? I mean, just airlines used to be. I mean, it's like they're talking about Narnia.
Sorry, Charlie. I'm going to call you on this one. They actually did get cheaper.
What Charlie's saying is the prices have come back up because of consolidation.
Well, prices, I mean, they go up and down, and also like gas has gotten more expensive, of course.
So no, this is a good point, Blake. So let me ask somebody a question here. So would you rather pay, let's just say, $700 for a ticket for that experience, or $300 for the current experience?
$300.
That's a legitimate question. From LA to New York.
No,
I would pay $1,000 not have some cat on me.
Yeah, but how much do you make in a year, Charlie?
Foot scrapings.
Of course I have the money, but your money, I don't spend money on stupid stuff. So yeah. I'm just saying, even in early days of the career, I would put money towards, look at this.
It's disgusting.
Blake Airlines out there.
That's
He's
out
very
of control.
Supportive of this.
That's out of control. that is Blake. That's actually alive.
That's alive. The great
that was a video of Blake on his way back from the inauguration.
The great achievement of America is that we provided like prosperity to all, not to an ennobled few, not to an elite few. We are the country we are the country of the Model T. We are the country of the washing machine.
Blake, time out.
Blake Charlie's is paid point by Spirit Airlines, confirmed.
No, but Charlie's point is really good because the consolidation, the monopolization that came through deregulation, and this is the same with the big banks, has created an inferior product. When you have more airlines, you can have Blake's option, like a lot more Spirits, and you can have a lot more, you know, Pan Ams.
I think the truth is,
the same airline.
We're going to show for this because we're going to make it happen. The number one thing that's made air travel worse is not airline deregulation; it's the TSA. That is by far the worst part of flying. Is you have to get in your cattle car line to go through security.
I disagree.
And
I mean,
go
it's
through
awful.
The metal
it's not the worst part.
That sucks.
But I think
I'm being targeted. I think I'm being targeted by the government every time I go through. The body scanner says I have something. I'm carrying something in my crotch region.
Stop doing that.
I'm not. I'm never doing it. And they have to pat me down literally with the back of their hand on my crotch.
Where you're like,
every time. No, I think I'm being.
Say there's a huge mass.
Charlie's laughing,
that region.
But he knows I'm being like picked out and bullied by the government. I'm not telling you every time I go through.
Tyler's been on. He's been on the Tulsi Gabbard list for a while.
So hold on. The Safe Skies list. Hey, put up B-roll 21211. Okay, like this.
This is not the point. It's not what we're talking about.
No,
yes.
No, but Blake, you're wrong. It is not that TSA has made it less luxurious or worse. We've done this to ourselves, and this little fashion evolution, I think, is key. Like, we used to have some standards. People used to, and now you go on airlines, and it's like you're sitting next to somebody in their freaking PJs, watching a phone with the speaker on, no headphones, and they smell, and they got wheeled in on a wheelchair that they didn't need. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Like, the whole experience is ridiculous.
The trashification.
And,
so, like, you
know, and the food sucks.
The
and
food
you
sucks.
An expired and, Diet yeah. Coke. And,
no,
and you
they
get
never
coffee
have
that could is indistinguishable from jet fuel, and you might get peanuts. And like my favorite, I mean, again, I just for the record, I have millions of miles of flying, right? Million mile club in America, 2 million miles in America, million with United, million with Delta. And I always loved when I was flying American, where they would act as if, Mr. Kirk, thank you so much for being concierge key and for being a 2 million mile flyer. Would you like a cheese tray?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Very much appreciate. And I actually would cherish the cheese tray.
Yes.
Because in this sea of scum, I would have
do you save
a slice of
tray?
Cheddar cheese.
Do you have the tray in your home? Like still?
Savor. And
savor
then
the
I would get my jet fuel coffee, and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. And then I look at this Pan Am experience. And we've been propagandized to believe. I mean, look at this.
No, it's like prison food.
Blake thought that this was a bad part of America.
No, Charlie's right. It's like prison food. You're like a prisoner on a plane.
When I was
the crazier part that we haven't even touched on, they can keep you trapped in that plane for like 7 hours or something. Like if I've been one time, it was
totally.
Like one time.
Because some light goes on in the bathroom and you can't get off the don't even get me started.
I was on one flight one time. It's only happened to me one time. where they had no food on the plane and something happened. We got stuck on the tarmac for like legit 7 hours. Like it was like a 7 hour situation.
Trump's got to change that regulation. It's not an act of Congress. They should do maximum 2-3 hour waits. Then you got to go back to the gate.
But to your point, Charlie, like real food, it's like a prison. Like if you're stuck on the plane, even for 4 or 5 hours and they're serving you like that dog food that they serve you now, it is terrible. It is terrible. And the other thing is, this is a real thought crimey thing that we really haven't gotten to. If you travel in foreign countries, they still take pride in the people that they hire. Like there's
in the people that you're just saying that in other countries, they hire hot chicks.
They do.
All the flight attendants. They hire. And then we have like, you know,
that was
battle.
That
axes.
Was the old Pan Am way.
That was the old
I
way.
Mean, yeah.
No, I like that. I'm okay with that. We can use DEI to getting rid of DEI to re-engineer
that. By
the
way, the average flight attendant could be in Lord of the Rings.
Yes. The average flight attendant is definitely on that Peter Jackson. Looks Gandalf-y. Some of them are Gandalf-y. Some of them are very Gandalf-y. Long beards.
You guys are hating on air travel, but like I said, America is the country.
Some of these hobbits are still fixing their feet in the aisle. No, yeah, they're like
no. Okay, so here's my advice on how we fix air travel. It's very simple, and everyone loves it. You charge 25% more, and you get rid of middle seats, and you make the whole cabin first class.
Yes, a whole first class airline. Yes.
But that's JSX, and it works really well, and JSX is very profitable, and they sell out, and it's all regional out here west. If you know what JSX, it's amazing. You can fly from Scottsdale to Vegas or Scottsdale to L.A., and, yeah, you'd have to charge, like, 33% more. I think there's a huge market for that. And then, by the way, if you want to go be treated like a piece of cattle to go fly from Phoenix to Tampa, vaya con Dios. Fine. Great. You can take the bus. That's what it's become. It's a bus, and it's an insult because you fly on these other European airlines or, you know, fly LL, and all of a sudden they have like pride and they love their airline. It's like a representation. Just think about it. Think about if you're from Europe or the Middle East and you're flying something called American Airlines. Yes. American Airlines. So
oh,
as the name
this,
of our
Troy.
Country. By the way, you fly the Emirates, you fly Turkish Airlines, you fly, you know, Qatar Airways. They have like pride in their nation and they're all thin and they're cut and they know what's going on and they love their country and they're a representation. And you fly American Airlines and it is the sloppiest, slovenly, nobody cares. The flight attendants won't even look you in the eye. It's like they're annoyed that you're there. I think it's a bad representation of the country.
It totally is. And in general, too. And if you've been to the airport in Qatar or Dubai. In Doha.
I'm wondering about Charlie's math here because he was saying you can get JSX for 30% more. I'm looking it up right now. Scottsdale to Dallas, JSX, $360. I can get a flight. I could go up to Phoenix Sky Harbor, and I could fly round trip to Dallas and back, $55.
$55.
I'm sorry. I don't care if the experience sucks. Frontier Spirit, but
what
I don't
airline.
Frontier and Spirit 55.
Oh, well, hold on. That's not an airline. No. That's Amtrak in the air. No.
If you don't think it's amazing,
if you're flying Spirit, you might leave that week.
Charlie, if you don't think it's amazing, I can get into an aluminum tube, accelerate it to 700 miles an hour or whatever they go, 500 miles an hour. And go to Dallas and do it all again to come back for $55.
You're dodging Charlie's argument. You are anti-American. No, Charlie's argument.
This is what the Wright brothers died for.
No.
Blake, he's about American Airlines.
Blake doesn't understand. No, Spirit Airlines charges you for more than one bag.
Yes.
So you only get one carry-on. The second one is another $50. If you have
a carry-on
bag, it's $100.
They charge you for water.
How many carry-ons do you need? They charge you for water. Well,
don't get water.
I don't know why you're going to Dallas.
I think they charge you for a backpack. You can't even bring in
how many plies of toilet paper? You can't spare a square. No, they charge you for everything.
You can't spare a square. And by the way, the clientele of Spirit Airlines
is middle class.
Yes.
I was straight up molested on Spirit Airlines.
No.
In my first, I'm telling you, I actually think every movie is gay now. In the early days of Turning Point, Charlie remembers this. We would book everybody on Spirit. We're cost saving all the time until we realized how unsafe it was probably on that flight. I got on this flight. It was like a midnight flight to Chicago, and it was I got on this flight. I'm in middle seat. This woman sits down next to me who's drunker than any drunk person I've ever seen on an airline. She should not have been flying. They should not have let her on the plane. Somehow gets on the plane. I'm in a jacket because you can't check anything, right? Because it's Spirit. So I'm literally wearing like a winter coat to Chicago. I wake up and this woman has her arms wrapped around me and like cuddling me the entire flight.
And now you're married?
I was married at the time. I woke up and I had to push her off me. This is like Spirit. She's like, ah, she's all this is the type of ride that you have to selectively choose on Spirit. Charlie's point about American Airlines is that there's a representation issue that we have here. And it's not just American. It's all the big airlines. And we have no standards whatsoever. And you go from riding, you know, the beautiful airport in Qatar, in Doha, that's literally like backlit marble counters when they check your passport, to America, and it's like literally they like give you the bird when you walk on and like put out a cigarette on your forehead.
That is like nothing.
Why are you here?
The airports of America are still just as greasy, even if you're flying first class. Like, no, still pretty grim.
Yeah, but you're not stuck in one place seated the whole time. Listen, I have not heard an idea like this much in a long time. We need to make American air travel great again. All right, none of it, like,
yes,
there's got to be some, we got to rein this whole industry in. And by the way, the amount of flights that I've flown in the last year that have been delayed because of mechanical failure or because of some light went on and they got to process the paperwork and they got to bring so-and-so in from this other outside hangar. And then it's like 2.5 hours later, you're sitting there waiting for the flight to take off. And you don't even know if it's going to take off. And you're like wrestling with, do I try and book on another airline? Or I'm sick of this. We got to have some standards here. And Charlie's absolutely right. This needs to be remedied. And I think Trump would get behind this, Charlie. I think Trump would totally agree with all of these. I hope so, too, because I think he gets it. He's the guy who's like saying our airports need to be a better representation.
He had Trump Air for a while. He literally had Trump Air.
But to your point, the most recent foreign flight I think I took, it was on Korean Air. And these women were like on top of it. They were making sure you had everything you needed when you needed it. I mean, it was a little bit robotic, but it was impressive. And American Airlines or Delta or whatever's flying abroad, we need to be better representations of the American culture.
Well, that's the problem, too, is everyone internationally already thinks we're slobs and disgusting. And then they fly
on United or
American. And then they're like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I expect. And I always feel that way, too. I'm always kind of embarrassed when I like get to an American airport after international travel, because I'm like, if I showed up here, if I spent all that money to come to like California in my head, and like I show up to LAX, which is literally a third world country. It's like, it's basically like going to.
It's a disgusting thing.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget one of the funniest moments of my life was Charlie Kirk at LAX. we had like a crazy Uber situation, and it was like we got like hijacked in an Uber. Oh, it was like crazy. But it's like a third world country. I'm embarrassed that like we have these awful airlines. We show up, the airports are awful, it's horribly run, and then you step outside, like in California, for example, and like that's their first impression of America is like the ghetto of California, which is disgusting, and it's just, we have to fix all of it. And a lot of countries work really hard where it's like your first impression is at the airport, it's on the plane, it's stepping outside of the airport, and if we don't fix that, it's not going to help. So like that, why not now? You know, this whole renaissance on architecture, why not also focus on air travel?
Well, we have to demand change when we have power. And I'm just saying, vibe shift starts with us. I'll never forget, Charlie, you remember when Tucker did this, when he went to Hungary and he was like, the architecture was so beautiful. And that started this, like, I would say kind of renaissance within conservative intellectual circles saying, yeah, you know what? You're right. We need to get our architecture game back on. And I think this is going to filter through where we demand excellence out of our own countrymen and our own industries again. I think it's a good thing. It's a positive conversation. I endorse.
All right, we got about 10 minutes here. Do you want to, Blake, tell us why America's super healthy?
Oh, so no, what we are going to do is, I think our fun conversation could be, so RFK Jr. got through today. He's now HHS secretary. So I thought we could discuss what should our actual top priorities be for making America healthy again, because I thought that could spark a good debate, because I'm always in disagreement with everyone about what our health issues are. And to commemorate RFK getting confirmed, you maybe have seen me waving this Hiroshima Carp mug around. I brought in, over the holidays, the 7-Up company, whoever makes them. I think they're made by Dr. Pepper. Anyway, they made a Shirley Temple-flavored 7-Up variety. And there is no way that this soda is going to be legal under RFK's regime, because I think, like, the second most common ingredient in it is Red 40. So I'm going to crack this one open to celebrate it. It stains everything I put
Wait,
it in.
Red 40's in that?
Red something. Let me see.
I just bought that this last week for the Super Bowl for my kids.
Red 40. Red 40's all over this. It's going to stain the crap out of this mug. It's great.
I mean,
you're basically... Like, how is this different than you being like a crackhead being like bragging about? I mean, it's you're putting poison into your body. Okay, I guess you're for like legalizing all drugs
for kids.
It's great stuff. It's very delicious. I recommend it.
No, Red. I was pulling up all the Red 40. And this is the thing. So RFK has to. This is the scalp that RFK has to get in the first month in order to be successful is Red 40. I really believe that. If he knocks out Red
Didn't
40.
Didn't we already do that?
What?
Hold on. Didn't we already do something with Red 40?
I don't think it's that. No, like, I think we just talked about it.
Biden did something. But.
Yeah, at the end of Biden's term, he tried to, like, take it.
Oh, so wait, now we have to protect Red 40 because that's MAGA.
It's not. He's drinking it right now. Like literally, he went and just got that 7-Up, and he's literally drinking it. It's Red 40 still around.
Yeah, Red 40 is all over this one.
But Red 40, asthma, allergies, cancer, brain damage, attention deficit, hyperactivity. It's all been linked. It's like Red 40 is probably the base.
Allegedly.
But if RFK actually gets this thing done and gets
okay, so no, I agree, Tyler. So Blake, why don't you uninterruptedly tell us why America is so sick? So lethargic, so suicidal, so overweight, so anxious, so depressed. You don't think it's any of the MAHA stuff. So the burden is on you because the data is objective. All those things are happening. Why?
Honestly, if I had to guess, if you were to say pick one big thing that's like driving huge across the board declines in health outcomes, if I had to guess, I think it would turn out to be plastics. I think... plastics.
That's every super MAHA.
But it's not really. It's not nearly as trendy to worry about plastics as it is to worry about
MAHA.
No, but like the thing about it is, like, MAHA is way more obsessed with like the vaccines, with like the secret cheat codes in the food and all of that. And I actually think like the boring answer is the fact that plastic is totally omnipresent in everything. Way more. It's almost a despair inducing because what are you going to do? Are we going to get rid of plastic? Probably not. We use it for everything. And when you look at plastics, plastics leach into everything. Microplastics get into your bloodstream. And we don't know exactly what it does, but we do know that there is some impact of plastics in your blood on like certain hormonal processes. So like over time, it's screwing up some of our hormones. And the effects of plastic stuff are epigenetic. They actually basically alter your gene expression in your body. And that can stack one generation after another. So you get 10% messed up by the plastics. That 10% is inherited by your kids who get another 10%. And that could easily explain why so many things we see are accelerating. Like they're continuing over time. Like the reason I would always criticize people who say...
I totally agree with that.
Like a lot of the stuff that people blame on like causing... You know, autism, for example, it doesn't necessarily make sense because it should be like a light switch where we did this and then it doubled overnight. Whereas stuff like allergies, stuff like autism, it's that it's just going up every single year on a pretty linear basis. And for something like that to be happening, I think you need some sort of constant environmental factor that's like shoving itself in. And so it's probably not like seed oils where it's just a constant thing, or you know, this or that shot that people have decided is to blame. So I think it's pretty interesting. Like, I think the best use of RFK is if we were to just go all out on, let's fund as much study of this as we possibly can. Let's produce as much science as we possibly can, as opposed to what I think a lot of people are tempted to do, where they basically want to impulsively ban certain things, or, you know, people want money for this or that thing. Like, there are people who are going to want to use MAHA to just mean you can use Medicare or Medicaid to pay for, like, homeopathic medicine. And I think that would be a mistake. I don't think we should use taxpayer dollars to buy flavored water for people, but it could happen.
I am a big homeopathy, but I think you should pay for it yourself. I'm a believer that there's a lot more in the natural world that could help you than drugs. But Blake, one of the guiding principles of MAHA is that there is an invisible environmental toxin that is doing something we don't quite know what. So you're kind of in the thesis then with the plastic thing. I'm surprised you're kind of within the genre that there is an invisible force that is doing something to us. We don't quite know what, but we have to figure out what that is. That is kind of the core premise of MAHA.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% alien to it. There's kind of what I always worry about is there's a line that is attributed to G.K. Chesterton. He didn't literally say it, but we'll get behind it, where it's like an atheist isn't someone who believes in nothing. It's a person who believes in anything. Like, once you become an atheist, you'll just believe in anything. And I worry that that is something that can happen with the health stuff in general. It's like COVID happened. It was really disgraceful. All the health experts acquitted themselves very badly for the most part. And some people have reacted to that by going, they lied to us about that, so they're lying about everything, and I don't trust the doctors. The only person I can trust is, you know, this like weird guy I found on the internet, and all of that. And I would encourage people to be more skeptical of that than they often are, because I think it can lead to unfortunate outcomes. But I do think it's very real. People are right to look at the way things are and say, this isn't normal. Like, kids, they actually are not way less active today than they were 20 years ago, yet they are fatter than they were 20 years ago. They are more depressed than they were 20 years ago. They are exhibiting weird medical problems. We were looking at that article just today, that the rate of kind of precocious cancers, people getting cancer under 50 years old, went way, way up between 1990 and 2019. And if you're looking at what's the obvious change that happens between 1990 and 2019, I'm not sure there is one. And people are freaking out about it. And I think they're right to do that. But I think the correct focus should be increase our level of knowledge as much as possible, as opposed to playing whack-a-mole where we decide, oh, actually, like, Red 40 is the thing that's going to kill all of us, so ban it immediately. I mean, if they I'm sure they will. I don't think it's going to be the kill shot that makes us all healthy.
I got a dash. Everybody, rumble.cloud, check it out right now. Thank you, guys. Wonderful episode. One of the best ones we've had in recent memory. Till next week, keep on committing thought crimes. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.